Morning. So this morning's reading is from Matthew 21, the triumphal entry. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." And this is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. So as you may have already picked up from lots of different things in this service today, we are celebrating something called Palm Sunday. And why do we do that? Well, because every year on this day, we want to remember the day that Jesus triumphantly rode into Jerusalem on a horse. Was it a horse? No, it was a donkey. That's right, it was a donkey. It was a bit like the song that we were singing earlier. That's what the people were doing. They had palm branches and they were laying their cloaks, that means their clothes, on the ground in front of Jesus. And they were saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Now, did you know that although at that moment everybody was praising Jesus, but in the days following that day, Jesus failed in their expectations of the kind of king they wanted him to be. They wanted Jesus to lead them in a massive revolt against the Romans who were occupying their land. But that is not Jesus' story. As John MacArthur says in his book, One Perfect Life, The Complete Story of the Lord Jesus, Jesus' story is that of a king who came as a lowly servant on a donkey. Not a prancing steed, not in royal robes, but on the clothes of the poor and humble. Jesus comes not to conquer by force as earthly kings, but by love, grace, mercy, and his own sacrifice for his people. His is not a kingdom of armies and splendor, but of lowliness and servanthood. He conquers not nations, but hearts and minds. In the same way, sometimes when we ask God for something, he may give us an answer that may take us by surprise, or another way, by surprise. He may provide differently than we would expect. But because God is God, his ways are higher than our ways. And so actually, God can provide us in whatever way he thinks is best for us. What we need to remember, always remember, is that God loves us and he will supply all our needs. In fact, I want to encourage you to remember with me today something, a line from a song called "My God Will Supply All My Needs." So whenever I say, "My God will supply," I want you to respond by saying, "All my needs." So shall we practice that once? I'm going to say, "My God will supply all my needs." That's it. John Piper says in his book as well, God is always doing 10,000 things in your life, but you may be aware of three of them. Over and over again, Jesus' disciples missed what he was doing right in front of them. They missed the point of the miracles. They missed some of the lessons that he was trying to teach them, which should give us hope for our own lack of clarity today. Now, I want us to watch a video clip from a movie called Patch Adams. The children might not know it, but the adults will know it. It's a picture of Patch. Patch wanted to become a doctor because he really enjoyed helping people. But somewhere along his story, Patch becomes depressed and he checks himself into a mental ward. And this is where he meets a fellow patient who's also a famous scientist. And so Patch has a lot of respect for him. And this video clip picks up on one of their conversations with each other.
May I come in?
If you bend your medial and collateral ligaments, place one talus in front of another, I don't see where you'd have a problem. Of course, if there were a news story covering this event, the headline might read, "Small brain enters room."
Fingers. What's the answer?
Oh, you're another one of those bright young fellows who always know the right answer, right? Welcome to real life. You can't see the solution. Never focus on the problem. Look at me. How many do you see? No. Look beyond the fingers. How many do you see?
Eight.
Eight. Eight. Yes, yes. Eight's a good answer. See what no one else sees. See what everyone else chooses not to see. Out of fear, conformity, and laziness. See the whole world anew each day. Now, the truth is, you're well on the way. You didn't see something here besides a crazy, bitter old man. You wouldn't have come in the first place.
Would you like to give that a try? Do you want to put four fingers in front of you? And at first you can see your four fingers, but I want you to try and see if you can focus on anything or anyone beyond the four fingers, and then see if you can see more than four fingers. Give me a yes if you can see more than four fingers. Good. Well, that little video clip just made me think a bit about God and how he provides for us. When you look at the way that God has provided for you or provides for you now, what do you see? Do you see four fingers or do you see eight? Do you look at what God's provided and think, that's not enough? Or that's not what I asked for? Or do you look at God's provision and think, wow, My God has supplied all my needs and more. My God will supply We ask God for many things, but did you know that the greatest thing we could ever receive from God has already been given? It is Jesus. What God has given us in Jesus is light years ahead of every other provision and care we could ever seek from Him. When we trust in Jesus, we have secured for us every ultimately good thing from Him. It's just a matter of time. James 1 verse 17 reminds us, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Every truly good thing in our lives comes straight from the Father. The ultimate good He provided us in Jesus is Jesus. And through Him, much of the other good things come to us. Jesus is our ultimate treasure. May you know today and in this week and always that our God is a God of eight. And not only four. May you know that you have nothing except what God gives you. And may you always know that Jesus is your ultimate treasure. My God will supply. Thank you, everybody.